Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
And been getting some reports since we've been back from Pesach, from the congregations around the world, and boy, it seems everybody's sending the same report. What a wonderful Passover they had. Many breakthroughs, and some of the congregations are saying it's the most peaceful, blessed Passover they've had, so it's been a great, we had a great one in Jerusalem, and praise Yahweh, and most of the other brethren are saying the same. We're leaving in about a week for Babylon, and it's every time we go there, it's almost like it's a mourning process. It's something that takes us back spiritually. We come back, getting our focus back, and yet at the same rate, I know it's you have to do it. I know I have to do it, rather, because the people always tell me, "Don't forget us. Don't forget us there." And we have brethren there, unfortunately, and brethren that need prayer, that need help, and you know, Yahweh cares for everybody, but it really is not a fun place to visit. It's not a fun place to live. And as we're going to see here today, it's a message that I gave many, many years ago. Actually, I think it was the week before we actually left America in 1999, called Change of Heart Before Change of Land. And I thought it was good to go over again today for not only myself and my family, but also for you. So I want to start in Jeremiah 51, in verse 44. He says, "I will punish Bel in Babylon, and I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he has swallowed up. And the nation shall not flow together any more to him, yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. My people, go out of her midst and deliver each man his soul from the burning anger of Yahweh." Like I said, there's seven direct commands. Possibly eight, depending on how you look at it, but at least seven direct commands to leave the land of Babylon. And I've been teaching this since the mid-1990s. You know, you always get the same answer. Well, where do we go? Or it's bad everywhere. Or, you know, there's not a better place to go to. And I think people are really missing the point when they say things like that. Because number one, when Yahweh tells us not to eat pork, do we make the same kind of analogies? Do we say, well, look at beef. There's all kinds of hormones in that beef. Or, you know, wow, you can get sick from it. No, Yahweh says something and we obey it and we do it. And I've heard many people in Babylon through the years, as I've traveled there, had the blessing of being invited to many places. Even this year, I'm invited to the First Assembly of Yahweh. I was there a couple of years ago. They invited me again this year. And you meet all kinds of different people. And most of the people say no matter what, they just would never leave. They wouldn't leave, they're saying it. Other people will say they're going to leave, but they, in their heart and in their mind, they make zero plans about leaving. And the thing is, in this kind of message, change of heart before change of land, because on the other end, we've met hundreds and hundreds of people right here in Israel that, quote unquote, left Babylon. But they really never left Babylon. And a matter of fact, probably at least 90% of them are back there. Most of them that staunchly, when we first came out in the year 2000, 2001, we would meet people in the old city. We didn't know them, but they also studied Babylon and they left Babylon. And when we used to just go back to visit the brethren, they would jump all over me. How can you go back there? How could you visit that place? And then within a year, usually they're back there and not even believing America's Babylon anymore. Then they come up with something else. Sometimes they don't believe in Yeshua. So I've seen that, like I said, 90% of the people that come out of there, they wind up back there anyway. And to me, I think it's a horrible thing to stay there. I think it's spiritual death. But at the same rate, Yahweh's got to open the door. People have to make their plans. But I find very few people planning it. I mean, most people are just saying, well, when Yahweh tells me to, I said he said it seven times. What about the Sabbath? He says the Sabbath, and do we say, well, when he tells me in my heart, you know, when I hear a voice say, obey the Sabbath, or I hear a voice say this, but seven direct commandments, I think, is enough for me. We're living in the last days, and we're seeing progressively how the place has literally become a hellhole. It has become a hellhole. I mean, and now you're starting to see things like Occupy Wall Street and riots in the street, beating up policemen. Just last week, more of this stuff going on. The news has not given a whole lot about it because they're supporting it, the insurrections and all those things that are coming. But I mean, it is just a slow spiritual death that's picking up very quickly. And like they say, if you take a pot of water, lukewarm water, and you put a frog in, and then you just turn it up little by little, the frog will die. But if you boiled the water and put threw the frog in, he would jump right out. And that's really what's happened with America. Over the last 20 years, 30 years, it's gotten a little progressively worse to worse. But now, I mean, to the point where now that the government is making legislation for homosexuality to be a legal right, a human right, cohabitation. The new thing now is that they're teaching at the universities that marriage should be not even an institution to begin with. You know, where is this coming from? People's sexual thoughts or their desires should be left to them alone. There shouldn't be any laws to regulate it. And it is a modern day Sodom and Gomorrah and a vile place, a very, very, very vile place. And I could say, going to many other places in the world, we just read about Jeremiah 10, the heart is deceitful above all things and incurable, and we're all human beings. And even people in Africa and these other places, they're still human beings. They have human nature, But you don't see the same vileness, Even in a place like the Philippines, divorce is illegal. Abortion is illegal. Where in America now, they've been doing some undercover things with abortion. And how not only is abortion legal, they're trying to make it full term. They're aborting babies. It's up to the doctors. It's just evil what's going on there. It's absolutely evil. And 2 million are done a year that we know of. Who knows how many more that aren't even on record. And everything just goes along, and people go along. And it's a vile place. It's a vile place. So change of heart before change of land. What makes people leave there? Because America's Babylon. And then within a year, they can't survive without it. They got to get back there. And the bigger question is maybe for us is, have we really left Babylon? Have we left Babylon? What makes us different than somebody in Babylon? Are we really different? And I say, being together like this, for many years, me and Petra had no fellowship. We were the only ones that were here. And I appreciate the fellowship greatly. I think we have a great group. But sometimes, just like I say in marriage, while you married someone, their biggest strength could be your biggest weakness. And the same with a group like this, with most of us being Babylonians, the greatest strength of having each other can also be the greatest weakness. Because we all come from the same mold, and it's normal to us. It's absolutely normal to us. But if Babylon is normal to us, then the kingdom isn't normal to us, and we're not going to be in the kingdom. And really, I think that the reading we did today was a really good reading, and it really, I really feel starting from last year, I thought last year was an important Passover. I thought the rededication was something that was extremely important from Yahweh, and I think this Passover was really important. And I know for myself, it's not just words. I'm not looking for catchphrases. I'm not looking to do things. I'm looking at my own life to really to see, and as we're seeing world events and things that are coming, we are getting closer to the end. And just like I say, Jeremiah went 20 years, and he preached and preached and preached, and they called him a false prophet, and they said, this will never happen. But the day came that they came in Jerusalem, and they burned the city down, and all the people died. And it's the same, like Yahweh says now, although your descendants be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant will be saved. And that's Romans. That's New Testament. It's coming from Isaiah, but it's New Testament. And what I always say is, particularly to our group, is, we're here. This is the headquarters. And there's a responsibility that comes here. Responsibility before Yahweh. And like I said, as the leader, responsibility before me. And I highly encourage everybody because I love you, but also because it's my responsibility. And I have to do it. I have to do it. I don't always like it. I'd much rather be in the other position of just sitting there and getting the encouragement from somebody else. I did it for many years. I look forward to it. Every Sabbath, I look forward to going to services. We had one elder who was an older man, and he was a military guy, And when I came in, he must have been in his late 60s, early 70s. And while he'd get up there and talk about fire and brimstone, and I loved it. I loved it because it hit me to the heart what it's supposed to. The word of Yahweh is a two-edged sword that goes asunder, and we need to be convicted. And what I found the last 10 years, primarily in Babylon, is people are offended. They're not convicted. You know, here and there. And praise Yahweh, we are really getting a lot of, in the last 6 months or so, we're getting a lot of people in Babylon asking for baptisms. We're getting a lot of people writing, asking for congregations. They want to join congregations. And at the same rate as we're expanding, we're getting a lot of other bad stuff. You know, bad email. And, you know, not like email, I hate you, but you wouldn't believe some of the questions that people come up with only in Babylon, you know, that they can come up with this. A matter of fact, I just sent out that letter yesterday on the calendar and giving all the proof. And one person sent back, and I was looking into no reply, and they said, I'm not getting it. What is it? Are we supposed to be having the intercalary year? Well, I just woke up. I don't know. And that's the whole Babylonian mindset. It's like, duh, you know? I mean, just read, take a nice article in the Wall Street Journal that talks about Iran getting military this, and then look at the comments people make, you know? Cursing in their talkback, you know, hey, to North Korea, tell little fat boy, and it's like, this is ridiculous. This isn't funny. You know, you were talking with the brink of nuclear war, and it's not funny. But people there, the perversion has gotten so bad, it is sickening and vile, and it's disgusting and against everything Yahweh is about. And it started with just the oppressive system of world democracy, but now it's all out perversion, as we'll see. Let's go to Revelation 18. But like we say, many are called, few are chosen, fewer are faithful. And change of heart before change of land, that leaving the land, that there's no magic pill, you know? Getting yourself in a little spaceship and popping yourself over here in Israel or Jerusalem isn't going to change you. A matter of fact, if you're not changing your heart, it'll destroy you. It'll absolutely destroy you. I saw more people, and some of them were pretty strong, some of them even elders, that because they came here and they didn't change their heart, completely fell away. Completely fell away. Like I say, what New York is to business, Jerusalem is to religion. And there is a heavy spirit here. There's a heavy spirit, and if you don't control yourself, if you don't have self-control, if you're not being led by the Spirit of Yahweh, you'll literally lose. Me and Petra, I can't tell you how many people when we were living in the hostels that we met that came here and seemed like nice people, and because they gave themselves over to the religious spirit, literally went nuts. Many of them ended up in the mental institutions. Some of them you'd see all of a sudden with bugged out eyes and wow, they got a demon. They gave themselves over. Because it's real. There's real. There's demons in the land, and we need to keep ourselves away from that spirit. Revelation 18. And after these things I saw another cherub coming down out of heaven, having great authority, and the earth was lighted up from his glory. And he cried in a strong great voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, it has fallen, and it has become a dwelling place of those possessed by demons, and a home of every foul spirit, and a home of every unclean bird, even the home of every unclean and hateful beast. Wow. And here it is. I said this about a year and a half ago. I believe Babylon is already fallen. Babylon, as we're going to see, it's not changing. It's not going to get better. It's fallen. It's a disgusting, vile place. And it's something that Yahweh detests because of the spirit that's there and what's going on there. Because of the wine of the anger of her fornication, which all the nations have drunk, even the kings of the earth have committed fornications with her, and the merchants of the earth became rich through the power of her trade. And you cannot even imagine, because numbers, the number trillion has no meaning to us. There is no real number trillion. It doesn't really exist except on paper, because it's too big of a number to count. You can't imagine what a trillion is. Nothing costs $1 trillion. And it's just an imaginary number, yet the kings of the earth have made in the trillions. They have made at the expense of mankind. They don't care. They don't care. They will sell a child for $50 to work in the diamond mines. They don't care how hard people work in Africa and Asia. You know, they don't care that children in India work 16 hours a day that their fingers are curled like this because they're putting matchbook covers together for 10 cents an hour or 10 cents a day or whatever they're getting, they really don't care. They're getting richer and richer, and the bottom line is, how much is enough? You know? If you spent $1 million a day, I forget how many thousand years you'd have to live just to spend $1 billion. Never mind $1 million. Never mind a zillion or $1 trillion. But it's to the point where they could not spend the money. They couldn't spend the money even if you spent $1 million every day of your life without fail. You couldn't even get to $1 billion in your lifetime. And yet people want more. Why? Because the heart is deceitful above all things. It's incurable. It's incurable. And the spirit of Satan and the spirit of greed and world democracy, it is just taken a corrupted spirit in man already, and it's enhanced it, you know, not to the heavens, but to hell, really. And we're seeing the effects of it everywhere we go. We see the effects, unfortunately, in our congregations. We see the effects of people that are starving. You have 1.5 million children a year who die from dysentery that don't have clean water. And you don't see any New World Order worried about that. But the New World Order is worried about dividing Jerusalem. They're worried about, taking care of Iran and all these other things which fits their interest. But the merchants of the earth became rich. And I heard another voice out of heaven saying, leave the land of her, my people, that you not share in her sins and you may not receive of her plagues. And I'm telling you, as a Babylonian, and I've been out of there almost 15 years, it will never, ever get out of you completely until the kingdom comes. That's a reality. You're born there, and that's why I say President Obama, first 13 years of his life, he's in Indonesia as a Muslim. That doesn't leave you. You don't all of a sudden forget about it when you're going through Sharia school and you're inbred that way. The same way that we don't automatically, simply because we're here in Israel, we don't lose everything that's inside of us. And as Babylonians, you have to fight it every day of your life if you want to overcome. And just giving into it, and living the same way you live there, you might as well go back. You're not doing any favors for Yahweh, and you're not doing any favors for yourself. You have to change. You have to leave the Babylonian spirit behind, and there's got to be the change in the heart before there's going to be a change in the land. Because her sins joined together even reached up to heaven, and Yahweh remembered her unjust deeds. And we can go on for hours just with the unjust deeds. There's books that have been written, The Economic Hitman, all about America and South America, what they've done. They've taken big businessmen that were doing really good and helping people, assassinated them to take over their different economic things that they want. You know, I mean, you wouldn't believe, but the American government and the New World Order, they're nothing more than a big mafia. They'll kill anybody. And now it's even been in the American news that President Obama came out and said, yes, if we want to, we can use drones and kill Americans. If we need to, we'll do it. And then the Congress came out and said, well, wait a second, sir. No, you can't. No, you can't. They're American citizens. They have rights over here. And then it went back and forth, you know, but they do it. So even if they come out and say, okay, we won't do it. They're doing it. They're already doing it. And it's a system of greed and her unjust deeds. Give back to her as she gave back to you, and double to her according to her works. And the cup which she mixed to her double. By what things she glorified herself and luxuriated. By so much give back to her torment and mourning. Because she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, I am not a widow, I will not see sorrow. Because of this, in one day her place will come death and mourning and famine, and she will be consumed with fire, for Yahweh Elohim is judging her. And I wonder, had a terrible thing happen there a couple of weeks ago? Some maniac puts a bomb at a marathon, kills a few people. It's a horrible, horrible thing. But you know what? Way worse than that is happening every single day. Every single day there's bombs going off in Baghdad. There's bombs going off in Afghanistan. There's bombs going off in Syria. And you're talking about thousands of people dying. In Syria alone, in the last 2 years, 70,000 people have been killed. You know, limbs being blown off. But all of a sudden it happens in America, and now, you know what, we're going to play it around the world, we're going to have all these different ceremonies, the president's going to come out, and it's like, why? Why? It's horrible anywhere it happens, but why is the Babylonian life worth any more than any other life? I fry tooth for tooth, life for life. Every life is important to Yahweh. But somehow that's the way the Babylonian thinks. I've had brethren tell me, when I tell them the situation of our brethren in the third world, well, they're used to it. You know? Yeah, we made it that way. They're used to it. Oh, really? Oh, really? I don't see that. I see very simple. You have two coats, you give one to your brother. I don't see. But if he lives in the third world, don't worry about it. He's used to it. No, it's a pretty simple command. That there's an equality in the body of Messiah. And maybe when we live in first world countries, as we'll see with America, you know, that if we are blessed more, all it means is there's a greater responsibility. Because the earth is Yahweh's in the fullness of, and the people of those who live in it. So if Yahweh has blessed certain parts of the world financially, then they have the responsibility as his banker to make sure that money flows in the right place. If he blesses you and you live somewhere in the world where there's resources, you have to use those resources. Whatever it is, do all to the glory of Yahweh. So we all have the same responsibility. It doesn't matter where we live, and it doesn't mean somehow that the Babylonian or American life is somehow worth more than the life of the third world brethren. But Babylon's judgment is coming because of how she lived her lifestyle. And like I said, most of us are Babylonians. Are we coming out and are we living the same way? And really think to yourself, pray about it. Ask Yahweh to show you how much change has come in your lifestyle since you got here. Like Eric was saying, some have just been here a few months, some have been here years. How much change has come in your lifestyle? 70% of the world lives on $5 a day or less. Some even a dollar a day. And that was one of the things when I was thinking originally, because I was pretty naive about leaving America. I didn't have a lot of world travel under my belt at that point. And I didn't even know. I said, can you leave the country? You know, are you allowed to? Is there a law against it? No, you could leave. But where do you go? I don't know. So I knew some people went to Honduras. Oh, if they went to Honduras, I guess I can go to Honduras. You know, and then as I started studying, find out, wow, 70% of the world lives on $5 or less. I guess I can. If they're already doing it, why can't I live on that? And the reason is, of course, I can. But do I want to? I can, sure. They're doing it already. But do I want to? Do I want to live that way as a Babylonian? Because as a Babylonian, we're filled with covetousness. You know, Babylon are the consumers. Babylon are the consumers. But we must mentally leave in our heart before we leave the land. There's many idols in Babylon. Cars, family, useless shopping, which is idolatry. Because you know something? If you got 9 coats, even if you have $1 million, it's covetousness to buy another one. You don't need it. Covetousness is not just wanting something that you can't afford. It's wanting something you don't need. That's the definition of covetousness. And somebody from a third world country, I'm not going to mention their name, wrote us recently. And they were telling us about this, you know, because they had interaction for a certain reason in Babylon. And they were saying, wow, it's really hard. It's a struggle. Because I was living so good without these things. And I really don't want them because they're not doing anything for me to make me any happier, but they're going to make me dependent in my mind. And it's important. And like I said, when I go to Africa, I see some of the happiest people I've ever met in my life. And it certainly isn't because of the things they're getting, because they're consumers. So useless shopping is idolatry and covetousness. Many leave the physical land of Babylon, but never really leave Babylon. 5,000 square foot houses. I remember right before the real estate bubble, when we would go back, I couldn't believe everybody was getting a addition on their house. We had friends of our family, their daughter, it was just the two of them. They might have had one son at the time. And they already had a 4-bedroom house and they were almost doubling the size of it. It's like, what for? Well, the neighbors are doing it, you know, stay up with the Joneses. The houses already there are bigger than most places in the world. Like I said, in Africa, they're living in mud-thatched huts. How big do you need? How big do you need? You see some of these sports players that have houses that are bigger than malls. You know, 80 bedrooms and all these things. Several families per car. Sometimes even each person has several cars. They're used to having to live a certain lifestyle of foods, clothing, electronics, always having to upgrade and supersize. I remember that movie that they did on, called Supersize on McDonald's, and they were interviewing a lady, I think she was from France, and they were asking her, you know, do you supersize? And she said, to be honest, you know, our large, the largest we can get is the smallest that they have here. You know, I couldn't get any more. But literally, I mean, these things are like garbage cans that people are filling with soda and then going getting a free refill. You know, you wonder why diabetes is through the roof. You wonder why all the sickness is coming in such a place that has such good health care, why so many people would be sick and overweight. But it's a country of supersizing. It's a country of covetousness. It's a country of overindulgence. And you know what? The people you're with are the people you're going to become. And what you focus on becomes most real to you. And if you put yourself in an environment of that, believe me when I say it, each one of us, it will affect us differently, but it will affect each one of us. There's no doubt about it. You know, even righteous Lot was vexed in his spirit by being in Gomorrah day in and day out. What are your shopping habits? You know, that's one of the things I see, that every single feast that comes, you know, that people go crazy over shopping. Ice cream. Didn't notice it so much this time, but wow, there's some feasts where you can't turn your head without 40 people with an ice cream cone in their hand. You know? Okay, it's a feast. You want to get an ice cream? But every hour? Every bathroom stop? You know? Shopping, shopping, shopping. And for what? What are you shopping for? What are you shopping for? Is it just to shop? How many things do you need? How many things do you have to have? And unfortunately, in Babylon, most of the people are addicts. They're addicted to it. Leviticus 15. Starting in verse 1, and Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, and you shall say to them, to any man, when there is a discharge from his flesh, it is unclean because of his flow. And this is an uncleanness in his issue. If his issue has run with his issue, or his flesh has ceased from issue, it is his uncleanness. Every bed on which the issue one lies shall be unclean, and everything on which he sits shall be unclean. And anyone who touches his bed shall wash his garments, and shall bathe in water, and shall be unclean until the evening. And he who sits on a thing on which he who discharges sat shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and shall be unclean until the evening. And he that touches the flesh of him who discharges shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And we talked about this many times, you know, that if you sit in a chair and you're unclean, you get up, somebody else sits there, they're going to be unclean. So it's the same as we come into the congregation. The point is that being around defiled people, as we'll see many, many scriptures here, will defile you. There's no doubt about it. Being around people that are defiling themselves will defile you. So that in itself, like I said, for me, getting out of there, it was life and death. I realized, if I stay in a place where most people are defiled, I risk maybe missing out on Yahweh's kingdom. And I didn't think I was spiritually strong enough to put up with that. And when people always ask me about when and where and how, all I could say is, from my own personal experience, is the best thing I ever did in my life. That I know getting out of that system, I'm not the same person that I was almost 15 years ago now. And I know with that system, I can't imagine where I'd be today if I would have stayed within the system of Babylon. If you don't change the heart, you will simply change from one place to another. You need to get the mind of Messiah. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. It says, but the material man rejects the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, and he is not able to know them because they are spiritually discerned. But the spiritual man discerns everything, and yet no man is able to discern him. For who has known the mind of Yahweh, that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Messiah. Worldly person don't have the mind of Messiah. What are your thoughts every day? What are your thoughts every day? And I wonder how people can live in that system, work in that system, and be around defiled people all the time and not have it affect them. And I've said this before, you know, I've had people come up to me and say they feel more uncomfortable with the brethren than they do outside. And it's a real simple answer, because you're too worldly. You're too worldly. What are your thoughts every day? You know, and I really think, you know, we're commanded on the Sabbath, we're not to speak our own words. You know, it's not only just working, but even speaking our own words. It's a day that's set apart to Yahweh. But I think we should strive for every day of our life not speaking our own words. We just said, man is corrupted, he's incurable. Why do I want to speak my words? That should be our lifetime goal, is getting away from everything that is defilement of us and putting on the mind of Messiah. Because when you put on the mind of Messiah, that's number one, like we said, how we're going to be united in spirit, because it's his spirit, not ours. It takes away rivalries, like Paul talked about, you know, that I hear there's contentions among you, and I partly believe it, but I wish you all say the same thing. It only comes by putting on the mind of Messiah. But when we keep our own mind, there's no way that that's ever going to happen. What are your thoughts every day? Are your thoughts on Yahweh, his word, you know, your conversations? Are your conversations about biblical things, sharing things, or is it always worldly stuff? You know, what is it? What goes in is what comes out. And that's one of the reasons why I cautioned with some of those electronic gadgets you have. And some of them can be good. I know some people, you use them to listen to messages. Sometimes I know several people that work at a place where they're allowed to listen to things. So instead of hearing these people talk worldly things, you could put on your headphones and you could listen to Yahweh music, or you could listen to a sermon online, and it's great. But how much more temptation is there? You know, how many hours in a day are you spending texting back and forth while your relationships right around you are falling to pot? You know, and that's what I see. I see that the world has never had worse relationships. There's never been more breakdowns of family. There's never been more crisis, you know, in congregational relationships. So I don't think we've gotten there yet. I don't think we've perfected relationships that, instead of taking time and working on each other, that we can just constantly all day be writing and texting to other people. You know, I don't think Yahweh meant it that way. I think he meant it that first within our family, we want to work relationships with our children, and then with each other, and then to the world we have to go, and we have to bring the message. But I think that a lot of these things can be distractions. So they can be something that is good. It can work to your benefit, but many times it can also work to your disadvantage. What are your thoughts every day? Ezekiel 5 in verse 8. Because you should be hearing the Holy Spirit talk to you. And you should be trying to, every minute of the day you get, to be into the Word. I think that's why one of the most important things that I think development that we've had over the last year, beside the new Bible coming out, is being able to get that Bible on audio. Because then, if you have those little gadgets, like I said, then hey, maybe like I said, I know I used to do landscaping. And I would just be all day long walking up and down with a lawnmower. And I wish I could have had something like that where I could hear the word of Yahweh all day long as I'm going. I would just really be saying it and practicing it, but I didn't have at that point the technology to be hearing it. But with the Bible on audio, you know, I do a lot of traveling back and forth to Jerusalem, and I would love that, you know, because now it is. Besides, maybe today you got to leave early, you don't get as much Bible study, but now I can hear it in the car. I could be hearing Yahweh's word. And again, we have different senses, so as you're reading it, it hits your mind different than when you're hearing it, and you might get more out of it. Ezekiel 5 and verse 8. Therefore, so says Adonai Yahweh, behold, I, even I, am against you, and will execute judgments in your midst in the sight of the nations. And I will do in you that which I have not done, and which I will not do the like again for all your abominations. Therefore, the fathers shall eat the sons in their midst, and the sons shall eat their fathers, and I will execute judgments against you, and I will scatter the whole remnant of you into every wind. Therefore, as I live, says Adonai Yahweh, surely, because you have defiled my sanctuary with all your idolatries and with all your abominations, so I will withdraw, and my eye shall not spare, and I will not have pity. A third of you shall die by the plague and shall be consumed by the famine in your midst, and a third shall fall by the sword all around you. And the third part I will scatter into the wind, and I will draw out a sword after them. Are you defiling the sanctuary of Yahweh? We must leave the system of Babylon beside the land of Babylon. How different are you than the world? And I'll tell you something that's pretty scary to me, and maybe why I can be so fervent about this. I came into the truth, I started hearing about it, I think I was 16 years old, the first time I started hearing about these things. And I think I was 18, 19, when I actually made a commitment to Yahweh. And I joined an organization that was, I believe, a part of the true congregation. But at that point, there was a brainwashing that they were the only one. I didn't know there were other congregations and other brethren, but they did have the truth that I had there. But the scary part about it is, they always talked about there's going to be a great falling away, there's going to be the time of the Laodicean, there's going to be the time when brethren are going to fall away. And I always thought, how can that be? Our leaders warn us about it all the time. We have the church here. It's protecting us. How on earth could people from the outside come in and destroy that? And I would have never thought that it wasn't going to come from the outside, that the church was destroyed from within. That's the way it was. And then when the founder of that particular congregation died, and somebody else took over, now you would think after 50 years of preaching this, and 50 years of ingraining us the importance of it, you would think there was about 100,000 members, that most of them would be so strong in the faith they could never be deceived. But what happened? The new leader got up a couple of years down the line. First they watered things down a while, and then he said, we're a new covenant congregation. These things are no longer needed. And the people clapped. And I was shocked. I was shocked. How can that be? Within 2 or 3 weeks, they announced, you can eat pork. You know, that was an Old Testament thing. People that hadn't eaten for 25 years, as soon as service was over, ran out and ate it and got sick. They were vomiting their guts out because of how unclean the animal is. And it woke me up. It woke me up. Change of heart before change of land. That people were sitting in those chairs week after week. They were coming there with their Sabbath face, but they never changed. They never changed in here. And the whole organization fell apart. And how many of that 100,000 people are actually still in the faith today? Very few. Very few. Maybe 1,000, maybe 2,000, I don't know. But very few people. And that's why I'm so fervent. Because I came from a place and I saw it happen. I saw you couldn't get a stronger congregation. You couldn't get stronger leaders. You couldn't get a stronger environment. And 90-something percent of the people fell away. Because they were not changing daily. They weren't reading their Bibles. They weren't praying with fervency. They weren't fasting often. They weren't meditating on Yahweh. They were part of the world. Sending their kids to public school. That's communism. Show me in the Bible. Show me one place in the Bible where it ever says you take your young children and you send them to society to train them up. I don't see that. I can show you about 50 scriptures that show the parents are to care for the children. That the father is to teach the child as they get up and they go by the wayside and they go to sleep. It's a communistic mindset to take your children and send them out there to who? You're sending them out to the people that are promoting homosexuality, that are promoting evolution. You know, a creation without a creator? Wow. But they want to keep telling you that's the only way, and they want to keep pushing how important education is. Why? Because they want to indoctrinate you into that mindset. And it's a brainwashing. The same way Yahweh brainwashes. Because when you come into the truth, your mind is already filled with dirt and garbage. And Yahweh's got to wash all that out. That's a good brainwashing. But Satan isn't going to stop. He's going to continuously try to continue to brainwash you. And the only way to sanctify yourself is to stay out of that system and keep yourself in the camp. Keep yourself where you're protected. You know. But like I said, you could look in the wilderness. There were a lot of people that stayed in the camp that still died in the wilderness because they never changed in here. They never changed in here. And the minute that there wasn't water, they were griping. The minute there wasn't food, they were griping. They never changed from the culture of Egypt. And they always wanted to go back. That's why I say, there's no magic pill. There's no magic pill. Coming to Israel could be the greatest experience in your life if you're changing from the heart, or it will destroy you. It will absolutely destroy you. Because there's a greater responsibility coming here to the land And Yahweh holds you to a greater responsibility. You don't know how many people through the years, we're doing this now about 12 years keeping the feast here. And you don't know how many people that this was their last stop. And then when they came here for the last stop at Sukkot or Passover, whatever it was, because they weren't willing to move ahead, they fell off the mountain. And they disappear. Then years later, oh, the house, oh, you know what happened to him. You know what happened to him. There's accountability. You know, you can go from Jehovah Witness to this, to Mormon to this, but when you come to the truth, there's nowhere else to go. And when you reject it, there's a greater accountability. You have to grow daily in the grace and knowledge of Yeshua. 1 John 2:15-17. We read this before. I'll read it. You don't have to go there. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because all which is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in its lust, but the one doing the will of Yahweh abides forever. And the solace that we take as we see it getting more and more wicked every day is the fact that by that wickedness we know the kingdom is getting closer and closer and closer. But you got to keep yourself away from it. You got to keep yourself away from it. And like Paul says, you know, that you use, but you don't possess. You use, but you don't possess. Do you love the things of the world? You know, in Babylon, there's 50 different cereals. There's 50 different everything. Clothes. Yet we said people in the third world are working many times for a dollar or two a day. Said the children in India working 16 hours, crippling themselves to make matches and whatnot. Must come out of world democracy because it only makes you covet more. It makes you covet and trust in the system. It's the only thing that makes that system work. And like I said, Yahweh blessed me from the time I was younger. My mind works in numbers. I'm very good at math. My major in college was macroeconomics. And I'm telling you, from a standpoint of even just from the logic of the books, it doesn't work. You cannot build a system on debt that can only work on more debt. You know, it just won't work. And eventually it's going to collapse. And that's why I say, and I say this publicly, we're in just going into May 2013, as the stock market is hitting all-time highs all over the place, look out. Look out. The bigger the rise, the harder the fall, and it will fall. And I don't think it's going to be that far down the line. Because when the bond market goes, there goes the dollar, because the dollar is what backs up the bond market, all the printing of the dollars. And you're going to see a lot of people wondering what happened overnight, but you cannot build a system on greed. If it is, then Yahweh doesn't exist, because Yahweh's word shows wealth built little by little will prosper, but wealth grabbed like that will go as quick as it comes. And it's not a system that's built on goodness or built on anything that's righteous. It's simply a system built on debt. And we don't want to be like that. You know, we shouldn't be buying things if we can't afford them. And we should be buying things that are practical in our life. And like I said, a lot of times at feast time, I see people shopping and buying all kinds of things, all kinds of trinkets, all kinds of, you know. One of the biggest sellers in the world. You ever go to a place where they have those things you buy and you could shake the, it looks like snow? You know, New York City, and you shake it like this. It may look good, but what do you do with it? What on earth do you do with it? And then I found out one time when I was younger, it broke, and there's something in there that actually is poison. I don't know if it was mercury or something that's in there, you know, but somebody got really sick just by touching the stuff that was inside. You know, and it's like that's the Babylonian mindset. You know, if you're going to buy a present for somebody for a special occasion, think of something functional. Think of something that could be used, you know, and we want to think that way. We want to make sure that we're thinking in a functional way. We're not thinking like Babylonians. And like I say, the system makes you trust for your daily keep, your retirement, your health care, for everything. That instead of trusting in Yahweh for all these things, we're Yahweh Rapha, Yahweh our healer, and Yahweh our provider, and Yahweh our this, and our Yahweh our that. The Babylonian system has taken the place of Yahweh in everything. And believe me when I say it, you don't know it until you come out of it. When we left Babylon, it was the scariest time in my life because it's the first time I realized I had no faith. I'm a believer now for 16 years. I'm thinking I have faith because I go to church on Saturday. I don't eat pork. I've been keeping the holy days. I'm tithing all my money. And yet when I left the system, wow, I really realized I had no faith. I had no faith. But praise Yahweh, it was the greatest lesson He could teach me in my life, because you've got to build it real quick if you're hungry and you don't have food. You got one choice. Pray and believe. That's it. But if you're trusting in the system, you're going to be in trouble. Most are so worried how to survive outside of Babylon because they don't want to leave their lifestyles. That's the biggest question over the last 15 years of preaching this that people have asked. How do you survive? How do you survive outside of there? And they're not getting it. It's not about money. It's about collapsing this whole system of greed and money that Babylon has created. And now you see. You know, like I said, I could bring 1,000 people here next year if they wanted to come and volunteer. But people don't want to volunteer. They want to come here and they want to live the same lifestyle they're living in Babylon. They don't want to work, a lot of them, what I saw. They don't want to help the poor. They don't want to sacrifice and give up. You know, maybe not eat the way you're eating in Babylon, and maybe not have the 40 different types of cereal, and maybe give up your Cocoa Krispies and Count Dracula and all those other crazy cereals that they have there that they love, you know, that are filled with 99.9% sugar. You know, they don't want to give it up. They don't want to give it up. But if people wanted to, if they really wanted to come back and serve Judah, the opportunity is here. You know, the opportunity is here. There's many opportunities, as you know. They don't want to leave their lifestyle, is what it is. And I know it. I know it myself. Because even when I go to Africa or I go to Asia or one of these third world places, after 2-3 weeks, a month, you start feeling it because you're not used to it. But my question is, what is your minimal standard? What is your minimal standard? You see, it's not simply in the buying and the not buying, the having and the have not. It's in here. It's in your mind. And like I said, automatically, when you go to these places, they sleep on straw. They don't think about it. And if you tell them what a great thing they're doing, that they're giving you the mattress and they're sleeping on straw, they don't even know what you're talking about. Because it's simply just part of their life. You know, it's simply the way they live. Like I said, if you go in the congregation and people are sitting there and someone else walks in, they'll automatically jump up, take the seat. There's food there, they'll automatically give it to you. There's people I know that at times would not eat all day because they wanted to make sure somebody else got the food. They don't say it. They don't talk about it. They don't say, look how great I am. They just do it. They just do it. What is your minimal standard? What is your minimal standard? Because in Babylon, our standards are up here. We're not thinking of the minimal standard. What is your minimal standard? Many would never stay somewhere without air conditioning, indoor toilets. Some can't even do without TV. Some people have to turn on the TV as soon as they come in the house. Like we said, all the other gadgets that go with it. We need to get used to being with Yahweh and His Word, as many of these addictions will not be there when the system falls. Many of these addictions will not be there when the system falls. And we know from Eliyahu, like I said, when there's clutter in our life, we're not going to hear. And Babylon is filled with clutter. And it's getting more. It's like the pack rat. You know, if you've ever been a place that's cluttered and you say, oh, I got to clean this. And then another month goes by and there's more clutter. And then you get to the point you can't take it anymore. And that's what America, it's been cluttered. It's been cluttered with every vile thing. And that's why the sins have reached to the sky, because it's cluttered. There's nowhere else for them to go. You know, but you're not going to hear the voice of Yahweh in clutter. You're not going to hear it. And it's a scary. You know, I look. And I can honestly say probably 2/3, 3/4 of most of my teachings that have been in the last 10 years have come over here in Israel, or even sometimes traveling, but not in Babylon. In Babylon, I read my Bible and I don't hear Yahweh talking to me the same way as I do over here. And it's scary, you know, because like King Saul, there's a point where you play with fire and you're going to get burned. And like I say, you don't turn Yahweh on and off. And if you're not cherishing that spirit that's in you, if you're quenching that spirit, there will be the day that it will be gone. And you'll never hear it. And all of a sudden you'll start reading it. It'll make no sense to you. And then you'll read less, and then you won't care. And then the next thing you know, maybe go out and do something crazy. And then start building more friendships with people in the world. And then you just fall away. But there's a point where you become a reprobate. There's a point where you will literally commit the unpardonable sin, and you will defile the Spirit of Yahweh to the point where He'll take it from you. And that's why we need to cherish that Spirit in us. And we have to make sure that we're not thinking, simply because we're not in America, that we've made it. Change of heart before change of land. You look in America today, there's well over 100,000 gambling places. Like I said, when I was growing up, there was two. And I remember as a child when they started in Atlantic City. Before that, it was only Las Vegas. Las Vegas started, I think, in the 1950s that they started legalized gambling there. It was the 1970s was where Atlantic City started. You had two places in the country. Not good, but only two places. Now there are more than 100,000. There's 100,000 New Jersey, where I came from, just started now with legalized sports betting online, you know. And what are they trying to do? Get more. And if you look at studies, there's nothing to destroy a society more from within than gambling. You know, people get addicted, they lose all their money, you know, then other stuff starts happening from there. But 100,000 now, everywhere you look, you know, there's riverboat gambling, all kinds of gambling. Prostitution, highest in the world, in the United States, more than 200,000 women are being trafficked every year. Can you imagine that? You don't hear a lot of this in the news, but it's going on. BBC has done reports on it. It's not something that is so far behind, but it's true. Prostitution, pornography, millions. I think they said 8 million websites, pornography websites. 8 out of 10 searches on the internet are for pornography. You know? 8 out of 10, that's 80%. And yet, do you hear it? Do you hear much of this in the news? Do you hear people warning of it? No, why? Because it's all things of Satan to get the people. Cruise ships, vacations, and the new thing, homosexuality. And why this is going to be the nail in the coffin, even more than the abortion. As much as abortion is the biggest abomination that America has ever brought to the world, with the homosexuality, it's a little different. Because now that homosexuality is a human right, now that it's normal, okay, even though we don't believe in it, what happens is, the next step is, as you're starting to see, you know, the ball players are coming out, who's gay? This one's coming out, who's gay? And now it takes away from whether homosexuality is an abomination or not. Now it comes down to the people. So what happens? What would happen 25 years from now? All these children that are going to grow up, and their friends have gay parents, and my teacher is gay, and this one is gay, how fervent are they going to look at this as a vile, disgusting, evil thing that Yahweh hates? No, they won't. They won't. Bisexuality will go through the roof. I mean, marriage will be gone, and that's why it can't last. Yahweh will only allow the marriage covenant to be defiled so long. But that alone, like Sodom and Gomorrah, is enough to get out of there. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the hand of Yahweh is not shortened from saving, nor his ear from hearing. But your iniquities are separating between you and your Elohim, and your sins have hidden his face from you from hearing. For the hands are defiled by blood, for your hands are defiled by blood, yea, your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken falsehood, your tongue murmurs perverseness. Nobody calls for righteousness, no one pleads with truth. Trusting emptiness and speaking vanity, they conceive mischief and give birth to iniquity. Why aren't the churches talking about these things? You know, even in Sabbath-keeping congregations. You know, why is it they're always talking about the same thing over and over again, but no one's talking about repentance? Nobody's talking about holiness. You know why? You can't talk about something you don't live. You can't talk about something that you don't know. And because the system has become so defiled, even within sacred name in Sabbath-keeping groups, they don't know holiness. They have no idea what it is anymore, you know? You'll see children playing basketball and volleyball on Shabbat. You know, the way that the teens are dressing as they're coming into services. The music that they're playing, this Christian rock music. And these are in Sabbath and Holy Day congregations. Because they don't know it. They can't teach it because they're living in it. Their mind is defiled by the spirit of Babylon. And this is why Yahweh says, come out of her. come out of her. If he could have healed her, he would have, but she cannot be healed. Jeremiah 51 and verse 7. Babylon was a golden cup in the hand of Yahweh, making all the earth drunk. The nations have drunk of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. Suddenly Babylon is fallen and it is broken. Wail for her. Take balm for her, if perhaps she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her and let us go, each one into his own country, for her judgment reaches to the heavens and is lifted up to the skies. And like I say, that they've been so defiled by the system, they have no idea what holiness is. They can't understand it because it's not there. It's not there because it's a mindset. If you even look in the 1950s, you could look at Sunday-keeping Protestant churches, and they had more holiness now than most Sabbath-keeping churches. Because it shows you the progression, how worse society has gotten over the last 50 years or so. I mean, I remember a guy we met, I forget when it was, maybe about 7 or 8 years ago, and he was telling us, he said, yeah, you know, in the 1950s when I was in, I think he said, the Baptist church, he said a woman would never come into services wearing pants. You know, go today. Go to Joel Olstein's church down in Houston and see what you're going to come up with there. You know, you're going to get this 20-minute little pep talk, and then everybody going their own way, but no repentance. You'll never hear him talking about repentance. You'll never hear him talking about holiness. Only Babylon, only money, only being the best you can, making the most money you can in the system of Babylon. Haggai 1 and verse 2. Haggai 1 and verse 2. And like I said, why did Yahweh bless America with so much wealth and riches? Because he trusted them. He trusted them to be his banker, and over time, more missionaries came out of America, more aid, more Bibles, more of everything. If you look from 1900 till about 1990, about 75% of all efforts toward the work of Yahweh in one way or another came from Babylon. So they were a golden cup in his hand. They were something that was precious. But now in the last 20 years, it's become completely defiled. That by the system of the New World Order and the things they're doing, it's become completely defiled. And now people aren't so worried anymore with Yahweh. People are more worried about their own things. And look what he says here, Haggai 1 and verse 2. So speaks Yahweh of hosts, saying, this people says the time has not come, the time for the house of Yahweh to be built. And when you go to Babylon, most people don't realize we're in the end times. Most people are saying, oh, they've been saying this since the fathers fell asleep, all things the same, like it says in 1 Peter 3. So he's saying it's not the time for the house of Yahweh to be rebuilt. And the word of Yahweh was by Haggai the prophet saying, is it time for yourself to live in your roofed houses, in my house lay in ruin? You know, and I was thinking about this a couple of years ago as I'm seeing all these people building onto their houses, 1,000 square feet, 2,000 square feet. Well, Yahweh's house lays in ruin. Is it really time for us to be building our roofed houses? Well, his house lays in ruin. And now, says Yahweh of hosts, set your heart on your ways. You have sown much, but you bring in little. You eat, but you are not satisfied. You drink, but you're not filled. You dress, but there's no warmth. Yea, one earning wages earns his wages to put it into a bag and holes. And if this doesn't fit America, I don't know what does. Because like I said, most places I go in the world, they think that Americans all are millionaires. And they're not. They may have $1 million worth of debt, but they don't have a lot of money. You know, the saving rate in America is the worst that it's ever been. It's just that they're addicted to spending. They're addicted to spending. But like it says here, they get their money and it goes out the window. And you talk to anybody that's there, they'll tell you the same thing, you know, that they don't know where the money goes to. You know, sometimes I've known people, even in the congregation, making $100,000 to $200,000 a year and not able to save one penny. How on earth can you spend that money? Most people will never earn $100,000 in their lifetime. And you can make that in 1 year and not be able to save a penny? There's a problem there. One earning wages earns his wages to put it in a bag with holes. So says Yahweh of hosts, set your heart on your ways. Go up the mountain and bring wood and build this house. And I will be pleased with it and I will be glorified, says Yahweh. You looked for much and behold little. And when you brought it home, then I blew on it. Why, declares Yahweh of hosts? Because my house that is ruined, and each man runs to his own house. And that's my encouragement to us here, and also to all the brethren back in Babylon, that, like Yahweh says, put him to the test. Put him to the test. Let's put our efforts toward building his sanctuary and not our own. Seek ye first the kingdom and its righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you. There's nothing wrong with eating good food. There's nothing wrong with having enjoyment. As a matter of fact, we're commanded to do it 3 times in the year when we come up at feast time together. Yahweh wants us to enjoy good fellowship and good food and good things. But he wants us to put our priorities straight. He wants us to seek ye first his kingdom, and then all the other things will be given to us. Haggai 2 and verse 12, we went over this during the feast, but I'll mention it again. Behold, one bears holy flesh in the wing of his garment and touches his wing to the bread or boiled food or wine or oil or any food. Will it become holy? And the priest answered and said, no. And Haggai said, if the unclean of body touches these, is it unclean? And the priest answered and said, it is unclean. And Haggai answered and said, so is this people and so is this nation before me, declares Yahweh. And so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer is unclean. And really, unfortunately, it really has become a nation of defilement. You see it from the head all the way down. It is sick, and that's why he says, if it could be healed, it would be healed, but it can't be healed. Forsake her and leave. If you're not leaving the system, you're defiling the brethren. Do you have 1 foot in and 1 foot out? And like I said, I've seen people that were so self-righteous about leaving the physical land of Babylon, and though because they never left in their heart, and like I said, at least 90% wind up back there. You know, like Peter says, a dog to the vomit, you know, that they're going back because they can't live without it. Ephesians 4. Let's read a little bit of what Paul tells us about leaving the system when we become believers. Ephesians 4 and verse 22. Lay aside all your former practices and put off the old man, having been degenerated with deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new man who is created by Yahweh in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore put away from you lying and speaking the truth each with his neighbor, for we are members one to another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil a chance. The one stealing, let him steal no more, but rather let him labor, working what is good with the hands, that he may have something to give to the one who has need. Let not any evil word go out from your mouth, but words that are good and useful for edification, that it may impart a blessing to those who hear them. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of Yahweh, by whom you were sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and anger and wrath and turmoil and evil speaking be put away from you, along with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Yahweh has forgiven you through Messiah. We are to become a new creation. And that's why I say, change of heart before change of land. How much of your time are you thinking about the old you? You know? Paul says, this one thing I do, putting these things behind. You know, putting these things behind. You don't need to be talking about what you used to do before you became a believer. It's wicked, it's evil. You should be ashamed of those things. Like Paul says in another letter, we'll see here shortly. You know, that it's a shame to even speak about the things that these people do. It's disgusting that I even have to give a message like this about the vileness of what's going on in that country. And to think that he's called us out of it, where we're supposed to see our conversation should be uplifting and good and joyful and edifying. And sometimes we want to talk about the good old days. You know, what was good about them? There was nothing good about those days, pre-conversion. You know, we want to make sure that we're putting on the mind of Messiah, and that's the key. The key to it is the transformation of the new you through the mind of Messiah. And like I was saying about justification, sanctification, glorification, yes, you have to put yourself in an environment where you can do that. But simply going from one place to another does not do that. That's just the beginning. That's the thing that sets you apart to be holy but it's not going to make you holy. The thing that's going to make you holy is by putting around you holy people, holy conversation, holy thoughts, putting on the mind of Messiah. Putting on the mind of Messiah. If we continue here in chapter 5, verse 1, then become imitators of Elohim as beloved children, and walk in love, even as Messiah also loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to Yahweh for an odor of a sweet smell. But let not fornication and all uncleanness or greediness be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Also cursing, foolish talking, or witty insults, none of which are necessary, but rather the giving of thanks. And I'm shocked sometimes, you know, that when people are just sitting around talking, and like I said, nothing wrong with having fun, nothing wrong with enjoyment and laughing. Yeshua came to give life and give it more abundantly, but not at the expense of another person. Not at the expense of another person. You know, that somebody does something really good, maybe they're going to make popcorn for you and they burn it. Oh, I'd expect that from you. Oh, so-and-so did this. Oh. Those kind of things, they're degrading. They're satanic. We should be uplifting with all the things we're doing. Not with foolish talking, witty insults. You know, and I see it a lot. I remember Roland telling me, after some things that happened down there in Nicaragua, and he kind of says, he goes, yeah, every time an American comes down here, there's a problem. Every time an American comes, you know. And a lot of times the Americans are the ones saying, hey, send us into the mission field. It's like, wow, Yahweh forbid. Yahweh forbid that they would see some of these people that want to go into the mission field because they've never been trained. They've never been prepared. You know? Sometimes even women that refuse to even so much as put a dress on. We've had women that wanted to be baptized. And when the elder would tell them, this is our protocol. No, I won't do it. But baptize me. Is that a repentant spirit? No, it's the spirit of Babylon. Spirit of Babylon. Foolish talking, witty insults, but rather the giving of thanks. When we're together, there's so much that we could praise and edify Yahweh and each other. For you should know this, that anyone guilty of fornication, or any unclean person, or a covetous one who is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Messiah and Elohim. Wow. You know? Okay, fornicators, right? Adulterers. At least none of us have that problem. Those guys out there. Whoa, covetousness? That's in the same line. Somebody who's covetousness is like an adulterer, a fornicator. He says it's idolatry. What is our life? You know, we all know, we all go to the supermarket every week. We see the Israelis. I'd be scared if I was them. Piles of meat up to the top. You can't even get to the meat counter, you know. You get a little old lady there, and she's buying meat that you would think is for a year. But they all do it. They all do it. There's a covetous spirit here in the land that I don't like and I want no part of. But is it in us? Because we should be better. We have the spirit of Yahweh. Do we have that covetous spirit? It's called idolatry here. Scary. Has no inheritance in the kingdom of the Messiah and of Elohim. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for through these things the wrath of Yahweh comes on the sons of disobedience. Then do not become partakers with them. For you were then darkness, but now you are light in the Master. Walk as children of light. We don't want to be like the example that's set by Babylon. And unfortunately, the example set here in many ways by the people of the land here. We want to be different. We want to be different. We want to have a different spirit. We want to have the mind of Messiah. Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And you must discern what is acceptable before our Master. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather condemn them. For it is even shameful even to speak of the things being done on them in secret. But all things being condemned are exposed by the light and are clearly revealed, for everything having been revealed is light. So I said, we don't want to be bringing up our former ways. We don't want to be bringing up evil stuff of our past. You know, we should be ashamed of it. We should be ashamed of some of these things we did to even speak of these things. What we want to be doing is talking about the new man. We want to be talking about the changes. We want to help each other. We want to edify each other. That's why we talk about the spiritual gifts, and we want to uplift each other. We want to help each other in ministries. We work together. You have one ministry. I have one ministry. You have one ministry. And we're all working together toward the completeness of the body of Messiah. And then there's a peace that comes. The same way I really felt a peace this Passover. You know, you feel a unity of spirit and you feel a peace. But if you have a Babylonian mindset there, you're not going to feel that peace. You're not going to feel it. There's going to be something that you feel tearing. Colossians 3 and verse 1. If then you were raised with Messiah, seek the things above, where Messiah is sitting at the right hand of Yahweh. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. Wow, that's the total opposite of what Babylon is about. Babylon is the complete opposite. It sets your mind on the things on the earth, everything. And like I said, whether you need it or not, you know, you have a car, it's 3 years old, it's running great, doesn't make a difference. We'll give you a new one. I don't need a car. Take it anyway. I don't need a car. You don't have to pay any money for the next 24 months, but I don't need a car. But you can drive it off now. Okay, give me the car. That's the way it is with everything. Trying to force you into more debt, into more things you don't need. But what does he say? Set our mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died and your life has been hidden with Messiah and Elohim. That's why we want to forget the former person. We want to forget the former deeds. Whenever Messiah, our life, is revealed, then also you will be revealed with him in glory. Then put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil, lust, covetousness. For these are idolatry. Like I said, it's a spirit that came with us. It's a spirit that goes when you're born in Babylon. But it's a spirit we have to fight. We got to fight it every day of our life because we know it's not of Yahweh. On account of which things the wrath of Yahweh is coming on the deeds of disobedience, among whom you also walked at one time when you were living in these. But now you also put off all these things: wrath, anger, malice, evil speaking, filthy conversation out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, having put off the old man with his practices, and put on the new life, which is renewed in knowledge after the pattern in which it was originally created. We want to make sure everything coming out of our mouth is true. We want to make sure that we're exemplifying Yeshua the way he wants us to. Put on the mind of Messiah, leaving the old man behind. Our conversation should be in the Word, not the world. And like I said, we're commanded on Shabbat, but every day it should be like that. Every day our conversation should be on the Word, not the world. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5 says, casting down imaginations and every false thing, lifting up itself against the knowledge of Elohim, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Messiah. We went over this at the feast. Doesn't mean you won't be tempted. But what it means is when you're tempted right away, like we said, if it's not lovely, if it's not pure, if it's not holy, then take it, package it, get rid of it. Don't dwell on it. Don't dwell on it, because if you dwell on it, it becomes action. Action becomes sin. Sin becomes death. So one thing I'd like for homework for everybody to do is really to pray to Yahweh and ask, how have I defiled Yahweh's congregation? To pray and ask Yahweh, how have I defiled Yahweh's congregation? Through a spirit of covetousness, greed, gossip? What addictions or patterns of Babylon have we taken with us? Because this is the key. Each of us have to look in our own soul. Each of us have to pray to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will talk to us. So we want to ask, how have we defiled Yahweh's congregation? Through a spirit of covetousness, greed, gossip, addiction? What have we taken with us from Babylon that we want to leave behind? You've got to recognize the problem or you're not going to get over it. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. It says, and now Israel, what has Yahweh your Elohim asked of you, except to fear Yahweh your Elohim, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve him, your Elohim, with all your heart and with all your soul. And this is the bottom line. Change of heart before change of plan. Going from a place to place, leaving one job for another job, changing this food for that food, changing this day of worship for that day of worship. Nothing is going to have any kind of lasting change unless it becomes personal, unless it becomes from your heart. And the only way to do that is to build that relationship is, like it says, come out of the world. Because Yahweh hates the world. He hates what this world has become. He hates the defilement. And there's no way you can draw closer to him. You'll never get to the Holy of Holies if your life is filled with worldliness. You've got to get rid of it. You've got to get rid of the worldliness. Whatever it is, whatever is not of Scripture, whatever is not of Yahweh, whatever is not kingdom related, get it out of your life, because you have to serve Him with your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And that's the bottom line. Once you've done that, Babylon becomes a non-issue. Because Babylon can only affect you if you're not serving Yahweh completely. And that's why in the end time, you have two kingdoms side by side. The kingdom of Babylon, which Satan is going to dwell in an earthly body, and the kingdom of Yahweh that's right behind it. And each person will have to choose which kingdom they want to belong to. Is your spirit vexed by the spirit of Babylon? Is your spirit vexed? You know, like we said in Ezekiel 9, the ones who are sighing and moaning over the abominations done in the earth? Or do you think actually Babylon's pretty cool? You know, with all their new things they come out with, all the military, all the gadgets, all the new things, all the things to buy. You know, somebody who was very close to me when I was talking about this subject just told me, they said, well, you know something? I just love it. I love it. I love the system. I love earning money. I love working. And it's a pretty positive person. They're not in the congregation. Just somebody that I knew outside the congregation. But it was sad to me to think, wow, how could you love a system like this? That was before the economic downfall and they lost all their money. Maybe they don't think the same way anymore. Is your spirit vexed by the spirit of Babylon? Last scripture is Hebrews 12. In verse 12. Because of this, straighten the hands hanging alongside and the enfeebled knees, and make straight tracks for your feet, that the member which is lame may not suffer, but rather be healed. Eagerly pursue peace and holiness with all, without no one will see Yahweh. Eagerly pursue peace and holiness. You have to pursue it. It's not something that's going to come to you automatically. You have to pursue it. Babylon has become so defiled, her sins have reached to heaven. We need to fully come out of Babylon and not take the system of Babylon with us, or we might as well have stayed there. The wilderness is your chance to really come out of Babylon. Take advantage of it. Don't mimic the world, but truly you need to learn the ways of Yahweh and leave Babylon behind. Being with each other as Westerners, like I said, it can be a great asset, or it can also be a crutch. As most of us came from Babylon, how many of us are leaving it behind?